Where in the world is Indonesia? Now, if you have been in yesterday's service or this morning's service, you are disqualified. Can somebody help me? Where in the world is Indonesia? Anybody want to take a chance on that one there? Right there. Yes, right on. Back here. You know, this is something I lose. This is something I take the blowgun with me. Sharon gets the globe. So this is the last time. I will now come down the next service. I'll have a globe like this. You know, it's much funner to throw a big globe like that out. Yes. Indonesia. Kalimantan. This island right over here. Here's the Philippines. Australia, of course. And this is where the blowgun came from there. And we live most of our life on the island of Java, which is this island right over here. Hard to look at way over here. And here's where we are now, halfway around the world. Some 36-hour plane flight. It can go, depends on how long you are in airports. But the last one we landed somewhere in the Middle East, and then flew from there to Chicago, and it was around 36. That was a rather quick. In fact, we took off a little after midnight on the 27th of June, and we arrived in Pittsburgh also on the same day of 27th. Now, what time am I right now? 11:30. What time is it in Indonesia? It's 11:30 there. 11:30 at night. So you can see as we went through all those different time zones as we came through here, made that trip possible that we left at midnight and arrived here the same day at 7 o'clock in the afternoon. My father-in-law said, if you took my daughter anywhere else in the world, she'd be closer to me. But I took her to all the way around. And sometimes people feel, I couldn't be a missionary. I don't want my kids to be a missionary. It's scary being over there. We've been talking a lot about Muslims. You know, Sharon and I have not been afraid living in a Muslim country. Now, there are other Muslim countries where it may be, but not Indonesia. And we have been afraid for other reasons, political parties that happen, but not there. I want to give you another viewpoint here, too. That island of Java is about the same size as Pennsylvania. 60% of all Indonesia lives on that one island of Java. It's a very fertile area. There's also a lot of volcanoes there, and the volcanic ash in terms of fertile being there too. We have some 600 active volcanoes. Wait a minute. Yeah, somewhere around there of Indonesia. So it's just a lot of volcanoes. The ring of fire goes right through Indonesia. 60%. Can I have you three stand? Well, I'm going to split up a family no matter what I do over here. Ha! You three are already three. Can you stand up for me? You're standing up for 100 people every square mile. That's what we are in Pennsylvania, 300 people every square mile. In Java, I want you to stand up for me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. I sometimes feel a little bit crowded over here. But for 25 years, this has been my home. 2,800 people every square mile. Now, you may be seated. But you know, over here, we can drive and you ride on Route 80 and there's just a lot of forest out there. There's a lot of, you know. I could be riding in Indonesia now. I see rice fields in Indonesia. I don't see them much in Pennsylvania at all. I don't see them at all. But I see a lot of rice fields and mountains and nobody is there. People are living in cities. Jakarta, a city of 15 million people. Bandung, we have lived most of our life, of 25 years in Bandung, a city of 3 million people. And so we've been living in some of the biggest cities of the world. And Sharon is kind of happy to be moving back where it's not quite so big. And we live on the farm that I grew up on in Blairsville, in the home that my parents retired in, and we're kind of enjoying it. We're also enjoying just working in the ministry here. Now, 10 people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Can you stand up for me? Out of every 10 people in the United States, how many would call themselves a Christian? Now, they would come regularly to church. What was the acronym that was used this morning? CEO, I think. Yes, Christmas, Easter only. But they come regular. Every Christmas, every Easter. Okay, that's my definition of Christianity. Out of 10 people, how many would be a Christian in the United States and in Pennsylvania? Amount. How many? 6, 7. So, 1, 2, 3. You sit down. 7 out of 10 would be Christians. On the largest Muslim nation in the world, the most Muslims live in Indonesia than any other country in the world. 1, and the rest of you can sit down. And you may be a CEO as well. You may not be, but you keep standing.
Oh, yeah.
On the island of Java, where 60% of the population lives on the island of Java, it's 4%. It's less than 5, and I need to have you sit down as well. Indonesia is the fourth most populous country in the world, one of my other biggest countries in the world. China, 1.4 billion people. India, 1.1 billion people. You guys, did you look at the, where'd you find it? Yes, U.S. You know the answers. Okay. U.S. at 320 million people. So it's a big jump from India down to U.S. And then Indonesia comes in at 250 million people. I was here 5 years ago. 5 years ago, there was only 2,500 people every square mile. Pennsylvania stayed the same, 300. Indonesia has grown in 5 years to, that island of Java has grown to 2,800 every square mile. So it's gained over there. So a lot of things have changed. I just want to give you a feeling of what it's like living population-wise. I want you to get a feeling of what it is like to be a Christian living in a Muslim country as well. I want to show you our family. This is our son. Both our children were born in Indonesia in our first term there. Our son married an Indonesian, Winda, lovely girl. They've been married 4 years now, and that's JJ, who is now 3, and just love those guys. And they're on the other side of the world. We're always on the other side of the world from somebody here. Jim is working in Nepal right now, soon moving to the Philippines, working for Habitat for Humanity. He went to school in Pittsburgh, worked for the city of Pittsburgh as an architect for 8 years, and then moved to Indonesia shortly after the tsunami. And God has been calling him to be helping those who are the lower level of economy and don't have homes to be working there. Our daughter Heather, for those who were here yesterday, that was a nice surprise for Heather and Samantha and Leona, 5 and 1.5 for Leona to join us yesterday. She lives in West Newton, and her husband operates big machinery. And, you know, I wouldn't have chosen the spouses that our kids chose. But, you know, as I look back, I couldn't have chosen better than what God gave to them, each of them, right there. And we're just so thankful for them. Today we want to be talking to Sharon is no longer here with me. Okay. Next week, I will be alone also. I want to be talking about two core values with us. completing the Great Commission is going to be requiring all of us to be getting involved. It's just not the international workers. It's not just also your pastor, but it's going to be requiring each of us to be involved. Also, God is asking for each of us to be good stewards. All we have belongs to God. All that we have. And I want to be talking a little bit more about that. We also want to be, I'll be talking with you this morning about, it's about getting gospel access to all the peoples of the world. Those who live in the 2,800 population and those who are living here in Pennsylvania. That all people have the right to go ahead and to be a part to hear the good news. Sharon and I are part of the Christian Missionary Alliance. There are 700 people like Sharon and myself all around the world. We're in some 37 countries that we are in. Our church in North America is around 2,000 churches. Our church in Indonesia is around 2,000 churches, so we're about the same size-wise. There are 20,000 churches, CMA churches around the world. Wow, we are a family with a lot of kids. And you know, I'm kind of proud. I'm not just kind of proud. I'm proud to be a part of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And we have people who are working in some very tough countries, in tough areas. We want to go ahead and to be a church that is so that we're sending people to those areas where there are no churches. Where there is no one to tell them about the love of Jesus Christ, that they may have also gospel access there. On the back, as you walk out, you're going to see a prayer card for Sharon and myself. I challenge you to go ahead and pick up that card. And on the back of that card, it's just blank, but I want you to make it something. What has God been speaking to you today about how he wants to use you, maybe around the world, maybe right here, also in the Norwin area. And then date that card and put that card as a bookmark in your Bible. And as you are in your Bible, you will go back and trace back and say, you know, how am I doing in that call? You may want to also be talking about your pastor. It may also be, you know, I want to be more used or better used in my church. I want to give my time. And you may say, you know, I can't be a Bible school teacher. Well, I couldn't be a missionary. I couldn't stand in front of people. I couldn't learn a language. God equips those that he calls. He doesn't call those people that are equipped. He equips those that he calls and he helps us. So as God is challenging us to take the next step, and as Sharon and I come back from living in Indonesia, we're taking that next step ourselves as well in terms of where does God want to use us. And as the song that we sang earlier, here am I, Lord. Send me, Lord. I want to be used to be a part of your kingdom. He wants each and every one of us to be involved in outreach. And there are areas that you live, that you work, that you get, that the pastor will never be able to speak into their life as well. May they see Jesus Christ. May they have that opportunity of also gospel access along with us as well. There was a pastor living in Ohio 7 years ago. And then God started to lay his call upon their life. His name is Andy and Laura Brake. And he called them to Indonesia. And they're now teaching in a Bible school, the main Bible school the CMA has, the Indonesia CMA Church has in Indonesia. And along with that, he's already planted another church. Here he is. He's coming as a first term. He's now starting a second term. He came with teenagers. That's a tough time for teenagers to be making that kind of a change, moving around the world like that.
It's easier for our kids that were born there than it was for people like Andy to go ahead and to do. But he has started a church, and his church has been taking students from the Bible school that he's working with and preparing them. How do you go ahead and speak into a Muslim audience? He's been giving them some very special training. And now that church is starting an outreach in another town 30 minutes away to the south. There are no churches there at all. There are no Christians there at all. And he is being like a flickering light. And how can I be that flickering light? Barry and Patty Jordan, if you know the Ellenberger family, John and Helen Ellenberger, they were missionaries in Papua. Patty is an Ellenberger. She and her husband are working in Papua. And they've been burdened about reaching to the young people in Papua. How can we get in? And they were trying to go ahead and to start an English class because English is very popular there. It's a good way in. And they were thinking about the university, but how do we get into the university there? One evening they're down at Pizza Hut. One of their friends comes over and says, "Barry, Patty, I want to introduce you to my aunt." They introduce each other. The aunt is the head of the English department in the university there. And the aunt says, "You know, I've been praying about how do I get some native speakers, some people who are native, English is your native language, and have them come into school." And Barry said, "We've been praying, how can we get into that school?" And it all happened at Pizza Hut. And so they started an English class. You have girls there wearing Muslim garb, and you have girls there that are not. You have guys there as well. They held a Thanksgiving event where they had a pie social. Patty baked and her friends baked 60 pies. They had some 600 kids come there. Boy, that was kind of a small piece of pie. But just teaching them about Thanksgiving and some of the things behind it, that people, because of religious persecution, we're moved from Europe to North America, where we have the freedom to go ahead and to express our faith here. And to share in a very low-key way faith in Jesus Christ. And so that is what Barry and Patty are doing. What are some ways that we can go ahead and work? And knowing, okay, it may happen at Pizza Hut. It may be my prayers and somebody else's prayers, and those prayers are meeting in the middle to go ahead and do something that you never would have thought was possible in there. It may also be like Andy and Laura. I'm a little bit too old to go ahead and to be sent out as a missionary now. No, you're not. Andy and Laura, in mid-career, are now ministering in Indonesia. And God is using them. And so God's call is for our kids, but also how is God calling me in terms of, it could be around the world, it can be around the corner here as well. And so Sharon and I want to be challenging us there. Sharon and I have been involved in marriage encounter ministries. Yopi and Erlina came to one of our marriage encounters. They worked with us. For most of our career, we were working in publications and radio ministries. And Yopi and Erlina both worked there. Erlina would get up in the morning because she's working. She would get the clothes in. And we don't have dryers there, but it's also sunny, hot. And so she would hang out the clothes. She'd go ahead and get breakfast ready. She went ahead and got a bacal or a lunch ready for them to go ahead and go to work, and then off to work they would go, and then they would come on back home, and then she would be cleaning the kitchen floor, and then she would be getting dinner ready, and she'd be getting the clothes down, she'd be ironing the clothes. Yopi was never with her. He was there, reading the newspaper, having his devotions, out playing with his friends. When they came to marriage encounter, they found that they were a disconnected couple. Both, and Erlina was neglected in the whole picture. She'd often come to work gloomy. I wonder why she would come gloomy. Because she just has so many things that she's trying to get done to get to work, and then getting back and getting to more work. And so now their kids are college age and upper teens. And so now after marriage encounter, they talked about this in marriage encounter. When you come to marriage encounter, it's not something that you get around a group and you talk about your problems, because you never talk about the big issues. You talk about the safe stuff that's there. In marriage encounter, you come to a presentation that's put on by two couples. Sharon and I also share our story. The story that we share are that we hide behind a mask. Everything is fine, or that, you know, we're portraying a good image out there. Between a husband and wife, masks have to come off. So we're a masked couple. There's another couple called the forgiveness couple. In marriage, if you don't have forgiveness, boy, you're going to have trouble in your marriage, because you need to be able to give and receive forgiveness as a couple. And the other couple is marriage in the modern world. And we so often base ourselves by the people that we're with. And I remember one couple. Each one of them were having an affair, but they were still married. All their friends had been divorced, and everybody was looking at them as having a good marriage. Were they? No. We base ourselves by what the world, the culture around us is. And we come on back to how God has designed marriages to be. So you hear a presentation, and we share in that presentation the awfulest things that have happened in our life. Because we love those couples, and we know that we're going to be touching the couples from our brokenness and not from our successes. And then the couples hear our stories, and then we give them two questions. And they go back to their room, and then between them as a couple, they answer those two questions. And then they come back to another session. And that's where Yopi and Erlina came across, and they talked about the issues in their life. And now Yopi is the main, Yopi and Erlina are the main couples who are putting together a marriage encounter there. Western PA has been having marriage encounters, and it's a pretty good shot we're going to be involved in Western Pennsylvania marriage encounter. So as you come, you're likely going to see us somewhere involved in it. There's a marriage encounter happening the first weekend in April. And you may think, you know, I don't have any issues to talk about here. We have a pretty good marriage. Yopi probably went thinking, we have a pretty good marriage. Erlina probably went, there's probably no hope for us. But God touched that marriage. It's like our car. Every 5,000 miles, we're supposed to anyway, change the oil. Why? Because we want our car to be able to last and go well. What's more important, our car or our marriage? The motto of marriage encounter is to take a good marriage and make it better. And yes, it takes rocky marriages and makes them better as well. I want to share one other story, and that's the story of a Muslim friend of ours, Aga. I knew Aga for about 12 years now. He worked in a travel office, and I would sometimes go in and order my airline tickets from him, and relationship grew. I would just come on in, sit down, and we would just talk, building a relationship. And one evening, I was ordering a pizza, and it was a place I couldn't call. I had to go and order it, and then I had 30 minutes to wait. And I noticed that it was right near Aga's where he was at, and he was there. And he was there actually waiting for a customer that was out of town to pick up his airline ticket because he was flying the next morning. Boy, I wish I had an agent like that. But now you have computers, so you don't need agents too much anymore. But there he was. And so I waited for him to be distracted, talking someplace else. And I snuck in and sat behind his desk. So when he comes in, I said, "Sir, how can I help you?" And he laughed. And he sat down, and we talked. I asked him, "How'd you become this?" He said, "Well, I went to a school a couple of blocks away from here." Okay. He also shared some things about drugs, and I didn't get, you know, okay, I accepted what he said, not judgmental about it, but he said, "I'm off of that." And then he told another story that when he graduated from high school, he graduated second in his class. I think, wow, second. He asked his dad, Dad, can I have a motorcycle so I can get to college, to the school I'm going to? He said, son, if you graduate first, I would let you go. I would give you a motorcycle, but nah, you didn't make it. Sorry, son. He said, I was so angry at my dad. So angry. I was so angry, I got up, I left the room, I slammed the door, and his door slammed. I said, I hate you. I hope you die, Dad. He said, Jim, he died 3 days later. He said, Jim, I've never told this story to anybody, and I don't know why you're telling it to me now. I sort of knew why he was telling it to me, because it was faith and God was opening up that opportunity. And I'm sitting over there thinking, I came up to order a pizza. And honestly, I felt over my head. Where do I go now, God? You know, sometimes we feel like that and it's okay. Sometimes we feel like I've got to have all this training before I can go out and do this. We're never going to be ready. We always want to be putting ourselves into those places where I'm not ready, because it's not about me being ready. It's about God speaking through me to others around us. He gives us the word, and I'm saying a prayer, Lord, help me. God loves those kinds of prayers. And so I said, Aga, what faith are you? He said, I'm a Muslim. I said, Aga, would it be all right if I prayed with you? And he said, Jim, I would be happy if you would. And so in that office, we just prayed. I said, Father, come alongside of Aga and help him with the guilt that he's been carrying these years because his dad died and he felt responsible. And in my heart, I'm praying, Lord, I want to see Aga come to you. 2 years ago, I'm now living in Jakarta. I'm now the field director. I don't get to see Aga very much. I can't drop into his office and share. But I was up in Bandung at a meeting. And I called Aga. And we often, when I'm up in Bandung, I'll call. We'll go out and eat together. And this time, I said, Aga, I would like to give you my Bible. My Bible has black tape on the back of it holding the covers together. My Bible was given to me by Sharon. I like to read the Bible through every year. And she took one of my Bibles, my English Bibles, and she copied all the highlighted verses and put it into my Indonesian Bible. I said, Aga, I'll give you my Bible. It has some markings in it. But I know Muslims also don't like the holy book written in. I said, or I'll give you a new Bible. He now calls us Daddy and Mommy. He said, Daddy, can I have your Bible? I have a new Bible now that doesn't have the tape on it. Three weeks ago, he wrote an email. We've been talking by email now. He said, Daddy, I've been reading from John 3. You must be born of water and of the Spirit. And Pastor Bob, if you want to go ahead and correct this one, because I told this in both services, so you got to really correct this one here. Because my definition of being born of water is, I wrote back to him, I said, you know, all of us are born a physical body. And we know a baby is coming when the water breaks. We're surrounded by water. I said, we are a physical being, but we need to be born again. And I said, Jesus, when Nicodemus came, he said, you must be born again for you to be able to see the kingdom of God. And two verses later, he says, you must be born again to get into the kingdom of God. And I said to Aga, just like Nicodemus, Jesus was inviting Nicodemus to come into a closer relationship. And he is inviting you, Aga, to be born again of the Spirit. Jesus said in that same part, the wind blows, you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going to. The Spirit is the same way. And I just said to him, I wrote back to him, I said, Aga, God is speaking to you. And I'm waiting for the next email to come from Aga. What relationships are we building? I told that story in church in Indonesia. Another guy gave his Bible to a person who was working for him as well. It may be giving your Bible to somebody. You know, every time he opens up my Bible, there's highlights in there. Guess where he's going to see? Straight up. Right where those highlights are at. So we are praying for Aga. And Father, I pray for Aga and Indy, his girlfriend. Bring this couple into the kingdom. I thank you for the opportunity of speaking Jesus into their lives. We want Aga and Indy to be your follower as well. God told Abraham, all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. You and I are the children of Abraham. We're his descendants. And we are here to be a blessing to other people who are not yet a part of the kingdom. That all peoples on the earth will be blessed. The first book in the Bible. The last book in the Bible. If you want to hear the rest of the story. After this I looked, and before me was a great multitude, and no one could count, from every tribe, every nation, every people and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Every people are going to be gathered together. Let you and I be a part of realizing people coming to know the Lord. You may have wondered, as a missionary, as an international worker, has it been worth it all after 40 years of being there? Has it been worth it all? In our last 5 years ago, we were appointed to move from Bandung, where we had lived for 25 years, to Jakarta to start a marriage encounter team in Jakarta. You know, when you move, starting to get new friends, that's always tough. Finding even where to shop is sometimes a challenge. And the Lord moved us, and we wondered, but we stepped out and said, Lord, we want to be where you want us to be. He moved us next door to a Christian who was beside us, and I would walk with him half an hour to 45 minutes every day, and just being with him, and others would join us with us as well. He gave us a community of friends. But by the end, we were almost ready to come back home. In January, there was no team that was coming from our marriage encounter. Everyone's excited, but nobody wanted to take a part or take responsibility. My boss, Richard Herring, who's the regional director, said, Jim, you and Sharon have touched the lives of 200 couples. And see all that you have brought in terms of changes in marriage and the result into their children, to their families. See what God has done. It's okay if it doesn't continue on. We had one last meeting. This is our home. And we had about 15 couples there. And we said, this is likely going to be the end of our time right here. And as we shared with them, they said, no, we want to see marriage encounter go. And Ethiopian Erlina stood up and said, and actually they didn't stand up. We talked about this, who are the teens with me. It was, we worked by consensus there. The rest of the group said, we would like to ask Ethiopian Erlina to be the head. And they said, we are willing to go ahead and to be that coordinator couple. That coordinator couple, along with the team that we had been developing, held their first marriage encounter without Jim and Sharon this past October. And I'm about ready to pop all the buttons on my shirt to say how proud I am. And we continue to pray because we want to see marriage encounter spread to every area of Indonesia. And they're the next step in the process. And so you may wonder, has it been worth it all? There are some times that we wonder if it's all going to happen. But yes, it has been worth it all. Completing the Great Commission requires each and every one of us. It's just not your pastor. It's just not the 700 international workers. It requires each and every one of us. Grandparents, sometimes we've seen our kids not necessarily walking with the Lord. We have a voice into our children's lives and into our grandchildren's lives. Let's be that Jesus for them. In our places of work, sometimes it's pretty difficult where we're working. But there are a lot of hurting people all around us. Look for those Jesus opportunities to come on in and to pray for that couple, to build relationships. It may be like Aga, it may be OVL, definitely a lot different. But let us be, wherever we're at, in our community, in our work, in our families, reaching out, completing the Great Commission. And as He calls us, He goes with us to the ends of the world. Is it safe on the ends of the world? No. But Jesus is there, and you can't be any safer than having Jesus by your side. The second thing I want to talk to you about is everything we belong, everything we have belongs to God. We are His stewards. I don't know if you're going to be, and I haven't talked to Pastor Bob, if you make a faith promise pledge. Some churches do, some churches do not. But we all give to the Great Commission Fund. And it's your Great Commission Fund that has made it possible for Sharon and myself to be in ministry through these years and see our children through school. And for those who were here yesterday, we showed the traffic video and the counseling that we got over in Akron, Ohio to help us deal with that and the care for us. Your Great Commission giving supports 700 missionaries completely. I have a cousin working with another church, Faith Promise. And then for them, they go out and raise their support. And then all of a sudden, a church wants to support another missionary, so they've got to take them. And we've seen that happen over and over. They cut this person so they can support this person. But with the Christian Mission Alliance, we know that we are supported and taken care of. And I want to say thank you. God wants us to be good stewards. And this is what God was speaking to me some 45 years ago back in Blairsville as a senior in college. It's not about the money that we have. He wants us. Our time, our abilities, our money, everything that we have belongs to God. And He wants us to be a good steward. And so, Father, I pray for Your blessing upon this church. May this church be a lighthouse into the community around Norwin. May this church be a lighthouse into the families around, that we may have strong families. See our children walking with the Lord. And though they may be stumbling sometimes, we don't stop praying, Lord, for our children and our grandchildren, for our family. Father, may we be a church that's reaching out into every area of our community to be a blessing, as You promised and told Abraham, You will be a blessing to all peoples, and that we may see many peoples from around Norwin and to the ends of the world, raising palm branches before the Lord in the Revelation story, because we're a part of that story. And so, Lord, be a blessing to this church today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We appreciate it, Jim.